And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And that is hammered! Oh my!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
High drive! Left field!
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 68 of The Roundtable. I'm Grant Brisby, here with Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig. Andy, how you doing today?
Doing fine, although I'm definitely not going to let you stand behind me.
All right. Mark, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, Grant. I was just going to ask you how your stadium tour was the other day. I hear you were in the press box.
I was in. They had free cookies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They had free cookies with M&Ms in them. They're delicious.
Did you get all their autographs and stuff?
Yes and no. I didn't bring the Giants hat where I get the autographs in the bill. I just brought a regular Giants hat to the press
box. You see the players in their underpants and all that?
I didn't. Well, no. Everyone was fully clothed. Brandon Crawford was very respectful. Let's just keep it at that.
Grant, a really good friend of mine in the Bay Area was raving about what you wrote.
Oh, that's
sweet. Off of that. And so to just be earnest for a second, I think that's really hard to do, is to capture moments like that in a way that resonates with the fans, you know, and you did it. So congratulations. I know that was a big deal in the Bay Area, and you did. You wrote a hell of a story.
Who is your friend, Bob Melvin?
Hey, man, Bob Melvin's a pseudo friend of the family, but
what are we doing? What are we doing, man?
Okay, before we go on, the elephant in the room, I have a court order saying that we are not allowed to talk about Buck Showalter. Gag order, straight from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals Circuit Court. Like, it is ironclad. We cannot talk about Buck Showalter. The playoffs are starting, you monsters. So let's just dive right into playoff talk, right?
Yeah, so the Buck thing. Mark, you need to stop posting.
What?
You just need
what
to...
What did I do?
You know what you did.
I don't. Enlighten me, Andy.
You need to stop posting. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Obviously, there was not many scenarios where David Stearns was going to have Buck Showalter as his manager next year. There was a little bit of criticism here in New York about the way it was handled, and that, you know, Stearns wasn't even an employee yet of the Mets when he kind of pushed out Buck. I'm not totally sure how there is a way to handle that properly. Would you fire him the morning of the first press conference? Like, you have to do the press conference on whatever. Like, I understand, you know, if from Showalter's perspective there was any frustration there, but like, I think everyone kind of involved understood the score. So yeah, you know, Mark, congrats. You know, Mark got what he wanted all along. Grant stabbed Gabe in the back.
Look at that smug smile on Mark's face.
The both of you is. I'm ashamed to be near you.
I mean, this is. I have no quarrel with Buck Showalter, none whatsoever. You know, like as I said on social media this week, this guy is gonna go down as one of the best to ever do the job. Okay, so in the regular season, so. And give him his due. He's a four-time manager of the year. He keeps getting hired because he's good at his job.
The most incredible thing about the show is Mark is so preposterous that I find myself having to defend this. Like, having to defend...
What is preposterous? The guy's resume is incredible, Andy. What do you want?
You're sick in the head, man.
Well, I don't understand. I'm sitting here saying that he's good at his job. Well,
you're sick in the head. You know exactly what you're doing. I've had enough. I don't like it when you do bits. You're not a bits guy.
This isn't a bit. He's a good major league manager, and he's had a hell of a career. What do you want from me?
He's clearly a bit guy. He might be the most bit guy on the podcast.
I feel like the end is very representative of his career in that I think the only people who don't understand why this has happened are his surrogates.
Yeah.
Okay, they're out there going crazy about, look, it was an unfortunate situation, man. Like, they had a very bad year.
Yeah.
There's a leadership change, and this is just how it works.
It's the business, man.
All right? They never even, and here's the thing, like, it's so easy to pile onto the Mets because God knows that there have been plenty of times where they've stepped on a landmine.
They're the Mets, yeah.
They're the Mets. Now, that said, did they even use the word fired? Did they make a big stinking deal of, like, firing? Like, there's no good way to do this. And it is very common in the sport for someone who's coming in a leadership role to have their own manager. Like, this is very straightforward. It's unfortunate. There wasn't a good way to do it. But I don't look at that and think that they spiked the football.
No, they didn't.
I don't think they didn't fire him at 3 o'clock in the morning in Colorado.
Right. After winning.
Like they did with Willie Randolph after a win because they didn't want to whack him on Father's Day. They didn't do that.
The funny part about it was that he was presented with the option of, look, you can either walk down this plank or we're going to throw you over to the side of the boat. So, like, it's up to you. But either way, you need to get off this vessel. You know, look, yeah, like, if you announce that he's fired on Monday morning, which was yesterday, the morning of the Stearns press conference, right? That becomes the dominant theme of the Stearns press conference.
Correct.
If you do it a day before, it's, you know, you've turned the page. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and look, like, it's not.
You get the same problem they actually had. Like, there's no good way
there's
to do
no
it.
There's no good way and, like, to at do least, it. So, like, whatever.
No, and this way, by doing it this way, actually, Buck got the send-off he deserved by
sure, yeah, which is the thing all he right? wouldn't and have like, gotten if they fired him on Monday.
So, let me, go all kayfabe here. My issue with Buck isn't even with Buck. I just find that he inspires a lot of lazy journalism. That's it. All right? Like, ultimately, that's what this is that Brittany Giroli wrote a really good column on Buck yesterday. And it was really good because it was nuanced. All she said was that, dude, this guy did a lot of things well. He wasn't perfect. Exactly. That's all. What I've always railed against is this idea that he is Saint Buck Showalter. Look at Grant.
Speaking of bad journalism, Grant, you written anything about the Giants lately? You monster. Yeah.
No, because I've been writing postseason power rankings and wild card game previews.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Can I here say one go. Thing about the Giants? Can I say just one thing and then we'll move on to the postseason stuff? Just one
yes.
thing.
Go.
Just
go.
One
okay, yes.
I am confused why what the team is dealing with seems to be very clearly a failure of execution, i.e., not generating the homegrown, players, Ramos, Luciano, whatever, not being stars yet or ready yet or whatever. And basically close to striking out on their big ticket, whatever, free agents, right? The guys they spent money on. Why that's a failure of philosophy rather than a failure of execution. Like, it seems like very clearly hey, they didn't sign the right players. The farm system is not producing. Yeah, I don't understand why it's Farhan Zaidi hates exciting baseball. You know what I mean? That confuses me.
Okay, so I'll break it down because I agree with you. As quickly as possible because nobody
Dude, Grant is
right
Grant is just furious right now. He wants to pretend
I'm on 3 hours of sleep.
He wants
baby.
To pretend yeah, he knows who's on the Rays. I mean, he's like, no, I definitely have thought about this. I know how to pronounce Yandy Diaz's name.
If I were out back digging a grave all weekend, I'd be
wow.
freaking furious
Unbelievable.
Too.
Unbelievable. You believe this, Mark?
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's the thing.
What
here's
Grant
the thing.
Did?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You think
fair.
I'm bad.
I was very, very fair.
You were.
That body count.
What you wrote before before Kapler was deposed, I thought was excellent. And I thought it was all the criticisms were reasonable. I thought the points you made about how he's the public face of the organization and that needs to be more of his presentation, I thought that was totally valid. I'm just sort of, I just look at it as what went wrong with the Giants seems very obvious and it's being extrapolated in a way that confuses me.
Yeah, you've hit on the two planks. There's two parts of this. And the first is that when they took over after the 2018 season, they had decent prospects, but they were mostly teenagers, really, really young. You know, Luciano, you've got under, and the first round picks from the previous regime, Elliot Ramos and Joey Bart, didn't quite pan out. So you don't have those people in place. You don't have those young players in place, that foundation that you probably want to have 4 years in. That's not necessarily the current regime's fault. It's just the way it is. So what do you have to do? You have to go sign free agents. Problem with that, free agents are terrible, generally. And, like, they're bad. They don't work out all over and over again.
Right.
And Zaidi nailed a bunch of them early. Like, he's Kevin Gausman. Like, oh, I'm a freaking genius. Wood, Descalfani the first time. Nailed it. You got Carlos Rodon. Well, he's always hurt. Well, not this time, suckers. Like, he's just going boom, boom, boom. And then this year, like, normal free agent stuff happens.
Right. Yeah.
And now you don't have those teenagers who are now 21, 22-year-olds. They're not quite ready to fill in and charge. Man, this shouldn't have worked. And it worked in 2021 is what made people so mad, because you felt like the timeline was accelerated. I don't know. I don't think Zaidi should be worried about his job. I didn't even, like, when I wrote that thing about Kapler, I thought he was coming back next season. I was addressing the idea that people thought he should be fired. I didn't, but there you go.
Look, I think writing critically about teams that you covered is vital. And so that when you do it, that you got to have your bases covered. So as much shit as I like to give you, like, I'm with Andy. I mean, it was a nice job. It was totally fair. It was the right thing to do. I also think, and whenever I see that kind of column or anything critical written, what is a reminder of just a lot of times the criticisms and bad faith. All right, because it's like, it's people who had a problem with Farhan Zaidi the first day he was on the job.
Yeah.
And never stopped having a problem with Farhan Zaidi. Yeah, it's just so much of that, I think, like, contaminates the discourse over when you write something critical. Is that, like, a lot of times the voices that are the loudest are the ones that, like, haven't changed their ideas at all, because they don't want to change their ideas. They just want to be pissed. All right? So it shouldn't take away from the fact that, you know, the coverage is fair and smart and worth reading, which in your case it was. So, you know, I think I look at the Giants and I'm just like, they're boring. I think that's their biggest crime. They bore the hell out of me. Like,
right.
It's hard to get behind guys there. And, like, that, and now people are going,
that's crazy. But it's being conflated that they're being boring on purpose.
Right.
Which they're not. Not.
Of course not.
They're not. You think Farhan Zaidi signed Michael Conforto thinking, I hope he's boring and has a 99 OPS plus. He was like, wow, I really hope that he's the guy who had like a 130 OPS plus several years ago. Grant.
You're trying to tell me that you think the Giants are boring? You think the Giants are boring. You. Oh, you have a problem with them being boring, buddy? I was born in the darkness. You merely adopted it. The most boring freaking
Castro Valley. You're on KNBR.
The most boring team I've covered in a long time. I've covered worse teams. I've covered teams that made you want to eat your remote control. This team was dull.
Boring. I think, like, you know what I like about the Tampa Bay Rays this year? They're not boring.
Yeah, that's the new, like, the new Rays.
Fun to watch.
The new Rays score points.
But, like,
there were times. Yeah.
But they were boring back in the day sometimes. Like, because it was just like, we're going to be the boa constrictor and just strangle you overnight. And, like, they won games and, like, they built their machine to do that. I didn't necessarily want to watch it. These guys hit the ball over the fence. Like you said, I love that baseball managerism you just threw in there. They do. They score points. Makes it different. It's fun. Like, that counts, okay? That counts.
I'll tell you one thing and then we'll move on, because producer Brian's going to lose it. Best thing that the 2023 Giants have done is they have convinced Grant that he can't just write about the Giants because his mental health will not allow it. And so he's going to be writing national stuff. And so it's a victory for readers that they will get the Daily Grant on stuff besides the Giants because they have pushed him to the edge.
Well, this actually, I appreciate that. This allows me to segue into the postseason. And it's good news, bad news. Because the good news is I'm prepared. I have written thousands of words about these postseason teams. You want to talk Kyle Gibson? Man, he was okay in September. He was getting that two-seamer down, right? Like, I know these teams.
God, this is hot.
The bad news is I was up until 3:30 in the morning doing all this stuff, and I'm on a couple hours of sleep, and so there's a really strong chance I'm going to be like, You know what the problem with women getting the right to vote is? And then I'm like, boom, next week you've got Nesbitt in my chair because I've screwed up and I'm canceled. So let's talk postseason.
What's the problem? What was the first point? I'm just kidding. No. Oh, sorry.
Wow.
No. Hell no. He spent the last month trying to get me in trouble. The last month. Okay. Intentionally saying stuff so that the pizza eaters would yell at me. So I can't do it once.
Mark, you do realize that an editor at this company, you're actually in a supervisory role. And so you'll both lose your jobs. And it'll just be 45 minutes of me monologuing. And that's what
the roundtable heads are like thrilled.
What the roundtable heads want. Is me just doing Bill Burr's podcast where I just talk by myself once a week. But you know what?
The analogy I always go with is Robert De Niro at the end of Casino. Like, here's my grievances. But I just want to say one thing to that point, and that's the odds on Gabe Kapler, like the actual betting line on Gabe Kapler coming back, were not strong enough for me to put money on them. So I just... Mark, how you doing?
La 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 la.
Grant, do you have a wild card series you are most looking forward to watching?
Because
I think there's a very clear choice, but I'm curious.
Excellent question, Andy. I like Rays Rangers.
Me too, man.
I think Rays Rangers, to me, that could be, like, if that were an ALCS, I'm in. Like, I think that'd be a great ALCS. Now you're talking about best of three. The Rangers bullpen is hilarious, and I love that in a short series. The Rays, like you said, you know, they can hit. They can zip around the bases. They do a lot of things well. I love this series.
Yeah, it's not far. Neither of these teams were far away from being the 1 and 2 seeds. Rangers, you know, if they won one more game, win their division, you know, couldn't take care of business against the Mariners, whatever. And then the Rays, like, they played bad baseball in July, and otherwise they've just been kind of a machine all year, despite all of their pitchers, you know, getting injured, despite Wander Franco, you know, going on admin leave, like, farm system keeps, you know, producing guys. And like Mark said, you know, there still probably is a conception about, like, or perception about what Rays baseball looks like in the past couple of years, right? They're not that, like, boring, brutalist team they were, you know, from like 19 and 20, where, like, they kind of built runs out of, like, a walk and a home run and then struck out 17 times. Like, this club can hit a little bit, right? Like, they, you know, Yandy Diaz has had a wonderful year. This is Randy Arozarena's time of year. You know, they have the various lows and lows. Although there's a lot of lows and lows in this one. You know, there's Youngs, there's Jungs. I mean, this is if you like stuff, like if you like mispronouncing names and not being totally sure, this is the series for you.
I'll tell you what else is going on with this series, and it's one of my personal favorite genres. Dude, there's some media on media crime going on.
Don't.
Because, like, we got, Chris, how about Chris Young going on the radio yesterday? Yeah. And you know who took aim at? Astros media. Because they had this big, like, to-do about, you know, how the Rangers are celebrating, you know, over the weekend. Like, they'd, you know, gone crazy about celebrating a postseason berth. And then, you know, took their eye, apparently, as the narrative goes, took their eye off the ball about winning the division, which then allowed Houston to do it. Anyway, I think that kind of stuff is hilarious. But, like, with what's going on in the field, I mean, you're right. These are two teams that we were looking at as, you know, they should be sitting, could have been sitting at home, that kind of thing. That's how good they were. And the fact that they're going to be here fighting for their lives in a 3-game set, and there's good players all over the field on both sides of this thing. It's just a lot of really good ball players. I don't know. I love it. Stakes are high. Like, Yandy Diaz, like, you know, you covered him. Like, he's sort of that personification to me of, like, how the Rays are different. Like, this is a guy who's taken a step up. He's a force. And we all know, you know, when the lights come on, there are certain guys that you got to keep your eye on, and Randy Arozarena is that. You know, and they got a bunch of guys in there that, you know, they've cycled in and out, like, in platoons or, like, in roles that they've maximized. So it's going to be just a straight up talent goes. You know, it's a treat that we're getting this in the first round.
Back to the point with the Rangers celebrating just for making the postseason, not winning the division. I get it, though. Like, I get it because they got a young manager. He's learning. Maybe he'll next year. He won't do that. He's just, you know, give him a little bit of time.
You know who the Giants could use?
Are you kidding? Like, if we're talking maybe Dusty Baker, Bruce Bochy, ALCS. That'll make Giants fans.
Oh.
So good.
Yeah. How about Ken Rosenthal had noted this today. We were talking about it last week. How about starting game one for the Texas Rangers, someone who the Yankees determined was not good enough to crack their postseason rotation, Jordan Montgomery. Whoopsies. Yeah, I'd probably do an external audit on that, too.
I too, would bring a consulting firm in to tell me why we got rid of Jordan Montgomery and then handed that money to Carlos Rodon. And by the way, like the Rodon thing, again, is one of those where everybody knew the injury risk. The entire industry has said, this is someone who's not only going to get hurt, when he goes down, it's going to be for months at a time. All right, no secret at all. And so what happened? Like, Rodon not only hasn't pitched and hasn't been healthy, but looks like he's got the A.J. Burnett Award, all right? Like, he's got the Ed Whitson Award. Like, he can't hack it here, all right? And meanwhile, here's Jordan Montgomery with the team, you know, biggest games of the year, and he's taken, you know, he's on the bump for game one. I don't know. It's just, it really is an eye-opening thing. And yeah, it was funny that he noted that. And Kenny wrote a story about that specifically today, I think, just on Montgomery starting that game.
Mark, you of all people, A.J. Burnett beat the Phillies in game two of the World Series.
He did.
I mean,
he did.
That
was a bad example.
Settle down. It's Carl Pavano.
Thank you. Yes, Javi Vasquez.
Javi Vasquez. Yes.
Carl Pavano.
That's, the American that's Idol. The
Paul Bufano voice from I Think You Should Leave. Sorry.
Oh, man.
That's for the
By the way, just I wanted to pass something along.
Talk about failure of execution instead of philosophy. I Think You Should Leave.
Hey, Tim Britton says that you're a fake Simpsons fan. I just wanted to pass that along.
Okay.
He said that the other day. I thought that was pretty mean.
Mm.
I told him I'd send you the message. That's neither here nor there. But go on.
Okay. I'm not offended, whatever, but how does that come up in polite conversation?
I don't remember, but like,
doesn't sound like it was polite.
It wasn't polite. He made a thing to say it too. I was just like, Grant's just working on his previews right now. What are you doing?
Britton,
anyway.
I can't. It's postseason. I got up my game face. I'm trying to give 110%.
But he called you a fraud. I just want to let you know that.
All right. Fair enough.
Grant's brain is like Max Scherzer's arm right now. It's just hanging by a thread.
Man.
Like he's cooked to the point of exhaustion, man. Like he's doing everything to try and get back for the postseason. And it's just like, look, at your age, like it just doesn't work like that anymore, man. You pushed it too far.
This man needs an MRI and a cortisone shot.
I probably wrote
Marcane right
six,
in his forehead.
6,000, 7,000 words last night between late. And I used to do that all the time, man. I used to do that all the time, no problem. Really, when you get like, I'm not an old man, but I am. It's hard now. It's hard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing. ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon Apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hang on, I'm just going to get on Slack. I got to Slack the masthead to get your medal ready.
Oh, yeah, you think, wow. I mean, no, yeah, hey, shut up. Wow. Wait, how many yeah. stories you file? Huh? Pencil pusher?
Ah, yes, oh, it's coming up. There he is. I wish I could show the Slack exchange we had over the weekend. He crushed me. Marv Thornberry, that's what he said. He said, that would burn a little bit more from someone who was in a clubhouse, but Marv Thornberry, still, the last time he was in the clubhouse, Marv Thornberry was an active player. Very good.
Someone tweeted, I don't remember who it was, so I apologize, but they said, nobody's named Marv anymore, right? And that's all it takes to get Marv Thornberry stuck in my head like an ABBA song. And that's not how normal brains work, and I hate that my brain is like that, but I just went around all week going, Marv Thornberry, Marv Thornberry. And so when I got to just spit it back out on Slack, it like cured me. Yeah. It was
he was the
reversing Beetlejuice three times.
He was the first bet. He was the first baseman for the 1962 Mets, right?
Yeah. Was there a 62 Mets or was it 63? I don't know.
No, 60. Yeah.
Called the Marvelous Marv.
The Marvelous Marv Thornberry. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, yeah. It was very ironic because he wasn't marvelous, but
right,
anyway. Right. At baseball, anyway.
Yeah, that'll be a 2-1.
Ryan in the chat drops a Marv Levy. We got Buffalo Bills.
Hey, speaking of the Buffalo Bills, are the Twins going to win a postseason game? Do you think, is this the year?
I thought about this a couple different ways. In my piece, really good, you should read it. what is the opposite of the Yankees? Like, we're talking literal. Opposite of a Yankee. It's someone who is not an American, someone from a different country, the Blue Jays, right? They play in a totally different country, as far away from a Yankee as any baseball team can get. They've got money with pictures of a queen on it. Like, forget about it. This is their chance. And then I look through the roster and I just see Aaron Hicks. And I wonder, am I right? Am I doing this right?
Grant literally just had a breakdown.
Did he have a stroke?
Yeah, Grant's brain broke and his computer
broke.
He thinks
Aaron Hicks doesn't play for the Twins anymore.
He thinks Aaron.
Like, are you having a stroke?
He thinks Aaron Hicks is on the Blue Jays.
No, I was having a stroke. I was having a stroke.
Grant really just completely melted down.
Oh my God.
It's better than the one thing that I was saying.
His brain shorted out and his computer.
Yeah, right. Producer Brian says Grant's bookie cut his Wi-Fi. My God. So what I was like, I realized halfway through that Aaron Hicks, and I was like, what? And then I'm in the tab for our video, and I clicked on Baseball Reference, and that took me away from the video. So yeah,
that's beautiful.
Should I Slack for a welfare check?
Yeah, we need someone. You know,
as a supervisor, I have to make sure that the employees are okay.
Here's what I got on the Twins, right? I've thought about this extensively. I've looked at their Baseball Reference multiple times. They're an 87-win team, right? The fewest wins of any team in the American League. They did underplay their run differential by like 6 or 7 wins, right? So playing in like the worst division ever, they're probably like a true talent 90-win team. In this format, though, like where they're starting Lopez and Sonny Gray, it's probably their best shot to win a series. I don't know. They have to be the dogs against, you know, America's team, the Blue Jays, who Ken Rosenthal continues to point out that in a private conversation, I told him that I wasn't sure the Blue Jays were going to win the division. And now he just has to mention it every time the Blue Jays win a game.
Dude, it's the happiest I've ever seen him.
He's very happy.
God, like he brings it up every single time I talk to him. It'd be like, we were talking about a schedule thing. He'd be like, and he thought they were paper Tigers.
Yeah. Well, if they lose to the Twins, buddy. That's, I don't know.
That is the most paper Tiger.
That series has a lot of there's a lot of teams trying to get, millstones off their back type thing, right? Like the Blue Jays have sort of underperformed over the past few years. They were probably the best team in the East in 2021. They just kind of didn't crank it up until too late. They kind of blew the series to the Mariners last year at home. They were, a lot of people, including dummies on this podcast, picked them to win the division this year, unlike geniuses who picked the Yankees, baby. Let's go. 27 rings. 27 rings. You got none. What was I saying? Yeah, so I don't know. And then you've got just all of the sort of psychic despondency going on, in the Twin Cities where I wrote just a brief thing about this. 2004 was the last time they won a postseason game. That's
crazy.
2000, and it's not like the Mariners didn't go to the playoffs forever. The Royals didn't go to the playoffs for however many years. No, they've won the division 5 times. They've had home field advantage in some of these series. They just lose. Yep. It's the very least, they're not playing the Yankees.
It is wild. And we're not talking, if you had said they haven't won a postseason series since 2004, it's like, oh my gosh, that is not even one postseason series. A game, a single game, and they've had so many opportunities. The thing with the Twins and the Blue Jays, in almost all of the teams in the postseason, they have this phalanx of starting pitchers with an ERA between 3 and 4. Solid, square G's, real good, pitchers. And those, to me, in the postseason are always just the most dangerous. Not the most dangerous, but variable. Where you have, you're thinking I've got Jose Berrios. And he's good. And then, whoops, couldn't get out of the third inning.
Right?
And I'm not trying to pick on him specifically, but their whole staff is like that. Where... oh, Sonny Gray. Yes, Sonny Gray's great. Oh, couldn't get out of the fourth inning. Right? That is the postseason. And I'm not seeing on any team, really, on any team, this kind of Schilling Johnson or Cliff Lee in his prime, or you got Doc Holliday, right? It's just, it's not there other than maybe Zach Wheeler, but even there.
Well, the team who might have come closest would have been the Brewers. If they had Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, who's been nailed since he came back in August, just showed up with a bum shoulder yesterday. the Brewers go from being like, hey, look, they can, they're going to ride these two guys, you know, some Freddy Peralta, you know, throw in Wade Miley, like they're going to run suppression their way to the World Series. You can see it, right? And now it's like, that's going to be a bit more challenging because Woodruff's a dude. Like, he's been really good for quite some time. You know, not as good as Burns, but he's like a, he's a legit, you know, number two starter when he's healthy. He just hasn't been healthy for most of the year. And so, yeah, you're right. Like, outside of Wheeler and Burns, you know, who is there a starting pitcher who's going to get into the seventh inning in these, you know, in these series?
Well, I've got, this leads me to a point I wanted to make. Who do you think has the best, the deepest rotation, at least in the AL, but probably in the postseason field?
I think, well, the deepest rotation, I think, is actually the Blue Jays. They have five guys.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good. The Twins are also good.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop an Orioles on you. Like, I'm going to go Orioles as, like, I have never said Kyle Bradish's name out loud, and it might be Kyle Bradish. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know. But that guy is...
He has been sneaky good this year for what it's
so
worth.
So good. Yeah. And Grayson Rodriguez has been so good in the second half. And you've got John Means back, and he's doing all this Kirk Reeder stuff with fluttering changeups.
Did you say Kirk Reeder?
Yeah, you better believe it. I was in his, I was at his home a few years ago.
What?
You read the article, man. It's on The Athletic. It was one
you
of my...
write?
It's one of my favorite pieces of all time. Kirk Reeder, baby. I'll talk about him. I used to be on a TV show, and I would wear a T-shirt that said Kirk Reeder for president. And that's why I didn't get my BBWAA card until just a couple years ago, because they didn't like that I was wearing shirts like that on TV. Did this derail a little bit?
I don't know if we've ever been on the rails.
John Means, baby. John Means. Dude, that's Means test.
Sees the John Means of production. Let's go.
Yes, that's sir. Funny. No, yeah. I honestly, the Orioles, to me, the more I looked at them, the more I studied them like a multifaceted diamond, I like them to win it all, baby. I like them to win it. Like Orioles, Braves in the postseason. I'm in.
I think the Orioles are going to lose in the first round they play.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, and it's nothing like, it's just here. A feeling I have. I think, you know, they're going to play a team that's as good as them, right? Because they'll draw either the Rays or the Rangers.
Aren't the Phillies pretty good pitching-wise, by the way? I'm sorry.
Nola has
Nola's not the same.
I mean...
Yeah, like, it's not last year. They're
I
a good
know,
team,
but like, but... you know, like, yeah. The thing with guys like that is that like, you always, I mean, for me... Like, that dude can just show up, okay? Like, that. The thing is, like, when guys like that, you when they have it in him, like, yeah, obviously, like, if you look at the body of work for this year, it's not the same as been in the past. He's had a lot of, like, inconsistency, but I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to. That was just in my head.
It's Kyle Bradish, by the way. Not Bradish, yeah. No, I hadn't said it out loud, and I knew I was going to screw it up. I've watched him pitch. Like, don't even put that on me. Like, I haven't even, you know... watched him pitch. The Orioles are my MLB.TV team. I've told you that. But
I was looking at the best pitches that we're going to see in the postseason the other night, just on StatCast. And Bradish had two of him. His breaking balls are like Bradish, whatever. Like, you know, good pitcher.
It's Brad Eich.
But like, he was the only one like really high up there that had two pitches on the list, which I thought was interesting. I think it was a slider and his curveball, actually. So anyway,
so good.
Those pitches are better than Clayton Kershaw's slider and curveball.
Kershaw's way up there. Yeah, Kershaw's like two or three.
Just checking.
Yeah. No, it's okay, wait. Andy. It's fine.
Hey, bell anywhere?
Your boy Kersh didn't get sucked.
No, yeah. But I smell it. Oh, it's Clayton Kershaw's shoulder.
Ooh, that's not very nice.
Oh, dang. The StatCast likes his slider even with the busted shoulder, man. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah, one of the best pitches in baseball history.
Ever.
I watched him pitch recently, and it's amazing what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's working through some things. So, like, that. But they're not – this is not the Dodgers team where they are trying to go Kershaw on short rest all the time. Like, they're trying to figure a bunch of things out. But, man, what he is doing is – in all seriousness, that dude's so awesome. All those pitchers, so I've watched. He's got a career ERA of like 1 point something or other against the Giants, and just so I've had a front seat to him. Maybe 300 innings against the Giants. He's so good. And now to see him into this third phase of his career, he is really impressive. Someone should write a book about him.
Someone should, and maybe someday they will, May 7th next year. The Last of His Kind, please pre-order now. One thing I will say, so one thing is, as part of this this book that, you know, both reported out and then, you know, can say statistically, and I think you're seeing it now, and like with the way he's been pitching over the last month when he's clearly physically compromised, is that Clayton Kershaw is probably the best pitcher in baseball history at run prevention, at not giving up runs. He's not the most prolific strikeout guy. You know, he's never had the highest velo, all that stuff, but he has the lowest earned run average of any, you know, starting pitcher since they livened the baseball. He has the lowest ERA plus of any pitcher, starting pitcher, you know, and you see it in that, like, he's sitting like 87, 88. His stuff does not work the way it used to. He's still just hitting the same glove side down quadrant that he always has and just basically hammering, you know, with repetition and like managing game sequences. He's not, you know, he can't really command the curveball, right? He's not getting the swings and misses he did on his fastball. The slider looks more like a slider when it comes out of his hand than it, you know, than it used to. And yet you look up, it's like five innings, one run. It's the furthest thing from pretty. It's the furthest thing from enjoyable for him. He's his, how much he's disliking the physical limitations is fairly obvious. But like one of the things, the themes of the book is like, his teammates, like the people around him, believe that he has some sort of natural gift for run prevention. That like Zach Greinke and Brandon McCarthy would talk about it like as if he was like possessed by magic powers, and that he can get the outcome he's looking for. Oh, he needs a double play. Well, there's a double play ball. You know. Oh, and it's not like a Greg Maddux thing where he's thinking seven pitches ahead of like, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and then he's going to do that. It's more just like, I'm going to keep doing this and I'm going to get the results that I need. And I think this next month, for however long the Dodgers can ride him, they need that quality above all else. Like, they need his ability to manage games and outcompete his opponent, because his body is not permitting him to do much more than that.
This is off of that point, right? I was looking at this the other night. There's the top 20 list as far as pitchers and their best pitches run value. 13 of those 20 are in the postseason, which I think is really cool. That's a lot, okay? Kershaw is sixth, all right? It's a slider. So the first is Zach Gallen's four-seamer and Chris Bassett's sinker. Like, no shock for both, right? Okay, they're tied up there. And then, you know, Charlie Morton, you know, with the curveball, which, I mean, you know, like, he's got some time here to get that in order. Okay, Sonny Gray's sweeper is fourth. And these are all now within one, you know, run value, okay? Corbin Burns is cutter. Clayton Kershaw slider. So that is impressive to me, because as everybody knows it, this guy's battling through this. And yet, right, just objectively, he's got a weapon that's still elite.
Yeah.
Despite all of that. And that if all he needs to be successful is all of those intangibles that you've laid out, that his teammates are convinced he possesses, but one elite tool, that's enough. Like, and that is kind of amazing to me. Like, yeah, he is, you know, not only is he like still generating that kind of outcome when he's clearly compromised, but he's doing it to the point where, I mean, you know, this guy's one of the best pitchers in the pool right now, right? Like, if you just looked at it for like what he is in this moment, even without the track record, just look at, hey, just line him up. He's in that mix of like, damn, this guy is somebody who's going to, you know, be a huge difference maker. I don't know. It's just amazing to me. And I guess, like, that's why those guys are who they are, right? They're different. They're different.
I think it's wild that Kershaw is, if you're a Phillies third base prospect and you are like a first, you're just like a third base prospect for the Phillies, can you imagine being better than Mike Schmidt? Right? Like, it's not, what? No. Okay. Like, I might have a great career and I might do all sorts of things, but come on. Like, I'm not going to be better than Mike Schmidt. Like, that's what Kershaw was as a prospect. Like, well, he's a left-handed guy. He's not going to be better than Koufax. He's better than Koufax. Like, he is, I have so much respect for him. And I don't know. He is so good. And I got so, back in my SB Nation days, my beat was, stop yelling at him for the postseason. The Dodgers are putting him in an awful position all the time. You've got Hanley Ramirez at shortstop when he shouldn't be there. If he makes the play he should make, he gets out of this inning. Like that was my beat. And I hate that criticism about him. And I'm glad to see that he's in the postseason where, like, he's not going to have that short rest pressure where if he doesn't go eight innings, people aren't going to freak out. You know, postseason Kershaw, here he goes again. I'd like someone to write a book on. That's all.
Well, Grant, I have great news for you. Mark has told me about an interesting new project he's doing, and so he's gonna have it coming.
Yes, it's called "We Need You, Big Guy."
We need you. Yeah, that's the classic of the genre.
Oh, yeah. Hey, sweet Christmas. Producer Brian's dropping in our World Series.
Producer Brian is showing yet again why I am the glue of this show. Hey, Grant, we have our World Series predictions from March up here. You've got
Oh my God, that's awful.
Hold on. You've got the Padres of San Diego and the Mariners of Seattle as your pick.
I don't think he's going to cash that ticket.
Yeah,
boys.
Did you put money on that? I hope not.
Well, of course I did. But no, but that was more of a I think the universe owes this to us. Like, I'm not that's not, I'm using my baseball acumen to make an actual prediction. That is, this is going to be awesome if it happens. That's I will defend that. That sure. is me being, it's not a bit, but it's not a bit.
That would be awesome if it happens. And if I lost 50 pounds, that would be awesome if it happens. But it's never going to happen, Grant. So grow up.
I've lost 50 pounds on to. I've lost 50 pounds on the Padres before.
He's doing accents now.
He's losing it, man.
Here we go. Having another stroke. Is this your second stroke of the last 43 minutes?
Grant really did. Man. He really did short circuit live.
No more previews for this guy. Gotta, you can't have this.
Everyone knows, my World Series prediction from March is the same one I have now. It's Braves Astros.
That's it right now?
Yeah. I think they're the two best teams. I mean, I think the Braves, I think the two best teams right now entering the tournament are the Braves and the Dodgers. I think that the specific Dodgers weakness, which is the kind of shortness of their staff and the fact that they are going to have to like really mix and match, that it can be exploited over a 7-game series by the Braves, whose lineup just never quits. And so I just think I think they just match up really poorly against Atlanta. Because it's like, what is the third look at Ryan Yarbrough going to be? You know, like what the second time they see Em and Sheehan. It's just 7 games is a long time, you know, to try and get through that lineup without 4 starting pitchers you can ride. And I think Atlanta's the best team. I think the Astros are battle tested. I will pick against the Astros when I see them lose in a non-World Series context.
I had the Braves and Jays, so at least they're both alive.
Still alive.
Still alive. I mean, the Jays.
Jays could do it, man.
You know, like, who knows? Seriously. Like, they've been just like an infuriating team all season long. So, you know, to my point earlier, like, the thing that's annoying about them is that they can have a good couple weeks and we're, you know, and Andy's, you know, going out and getting red and blue money up north. Okay. And like, you know, like fiddling with the internet at the Eaton Center Marriott. So, like, you know, like this, it's very possible.
Perish
okay, like squinting from left field, fourth level, trying to see what's going on in the field. So, but like,
in an aux box in Mississauga. Anyway,
there you go. But like, you're talking about the Braves and who matches up. No one matches up well against that lineup. Right. That lineup's incredible. Like, I don't, you know, and I think people have done it over the last month where it's like, hey, wait a minute, holy shit, they're not just good. They might be all time good. They are scary. Okay, because not only do like the old school numbers show you how productive they are, but the deeper you look at it, you're just like, holy shit, they might be better than like what the numbers actually show. All right, like their underlying stuff is scarier. Like, everybody hits the cover off the ball. They're athletic. They beat you in different ways. They're slightly different types of hitters in that lineup, and they never stop coming at you. All right? They're unrelenting. It's unbelievable how good they are.
Straight up 27 Yankees, but Gehrig's stealing 70 bases.
I mean, dude, it's not that far off. Yeah, I mean, like, they're, you know, one of the things I was thinking about as I looked at the entire pool was just, like, how much athleticism might come into play this year. Because you figure guys will be a lot more active on the bases because there's incentive to do so. Andy wrote a great story on the pitch clock the other day. If you haven't read it, you should. It's a good breakdown of just, hey, this is an unknown and people are going to have to deal with this. And when things like that happen, all right, like it could get chaotic. So, you know, anyway, like the Braves to me bring every tool that you need to the table to win a ball game in October. And in fact, you could argue that, like, you know, in one guy, in Acuña, that's just about everything you need to win a game in October, because you got to hit a ball over the fence. He can do that. All right. And in those tight games where, like, you got to maximize every base runner you got, well, you walk him, he's going to be in scoring position. Like, that's really amazing, powerful stuff. And to have that in your lineup every single day, and then, by the way, surrounded by all those other dudes that can punish you, that is overwhelming.
The nightmare of Acuña followed by Ozzie Albies, who can bunt for a hit, and he hit 33 homers this year. He slugged, like, 515. Like, and then, you know, Riley, Olsen, Murphy, you know, Michael Harris has been good. You know, we saw what Eddie Rosario can do. Like, it's just that lineup is a propulsive, unrelenting force that, yeah, pretty much every team matches up poorly against. I was just saying that the Dodgers, who I think I would probably pick over every other team, like, the one thing they're struggling with is what the Barbs can expose. And obviously the Phillies are going to win. They're going to beat the Braves and again, because just the vibe, you know, look, because, like, the Phillies are, I will say, you know, like, the Phillies just, they have the, it's cliche, but, like, they do have chaotic energy. Like, they are a preposterous team. They could very easily go and do what they did last year with Atlanta.
Producer Brian is going nuts.
Because
he needs to chop this up and get it out before the first game.
Oh, sorry, Brian.
Postseason.
Sorry.
You're so god.
Grant, who do you think? Who do you want to replace Gabe? You're not supposed to answer that. You're not supposed to answer that. You're not supposed to answer that.
No, but all right. So now we got to get our pick. So you're sticking with Braves Astros.
I'll stick Braves Astros. Yeah.
All right, Mark, what do you got?
I'm going to stick with Braves. Jays just out of principle, and, like, obviously I'm going Atlanta all the way.
Fair enough. Well, then I'm sticking with Padres Mariners. no, I'm going Braves Orioles. I said it early in the podcast. I want Braves Orioles. I want to see
fun.
That's the only team that I think can give the Braves just a little bit of a cinnamon and sugar when it comes to their starting rotation. I think that they would do a good job. Braves Rays would be good too. Anyways, this has been episode number 68 of the Athletics Roundtable Baseball Podcast. We'll be back next week on Wednesday. We'll be back next Wednesday because of scheduling things. So we'll be back then. See you next week. We'll talk about baseball because that's what we do. See ya.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.